This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, October 4th, 2020. The 17th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Blessed is the man who is undefiled in the way and walks in the law of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost. You will hear from a lot of folks who you might invite to church or speak of things about the faith and say that there are too many rules. God is all about rules. We need to understand that. We need to understand that God, when he speaks of his law, it is unequivocal that he expects us to know it, but even more so, to live it. As we go through the Psalter, we discuss the fact that all the Psalms are prayers, every single one of them. Those words, blessed are those who walk in the law of the Lord, we have to appreciate that they're opening verses of the liturgy today. They're from Psalm 119. The Psalm 119 is a prayer that speaks of the law of God. It is the longest prayer that the Holy Spirit gives us. It's the longest psalm, 176 verses. If you get that one for penance, that means you know you got something to think about. 176 verses. It speaks of the law throughout. The law, the testimonies, the precepts, the commandments, the mandates. 14 different names are applied to God's law. Every single verse of those 176 speak of God's law, except verse 122. That makes it very obvious to us that God takes very seriously what he's told us to do. He takes it very seriously, but it's not a constant reiteration. You need to know this. You need to know this. You need to dot the I's and cross the T's. We just look at that verse that we read. Blessed is he who walks in the law of the Lord. Doesn't say blessed he who knows it, who walks in it. This is what we have to understand. This is what the Holy Spirit wants us to know. That the law of the Lord must be lived. The testimonies of our Lord. Because what is the law? We do hear about. We're human beings, and our fallen nature, we have to understand, we will mess up just about anything. We mess up everything. When we hear the law about the law of God, you got one group of folks that will say, you need to dot the I's across the T's or Jesus is going to smite you. And they got another group, Christ died for our sins. That means we don't have to do the law anymore. Both horrible extremes, both false. We got to sit in the middle ground here. We have to understand that God gave us his law, and we're talking about, we're just talking about the Ten Commandments, okay? First and foremost, of course, the Ten Commandments. That is a very succinct presentation of what God, it's succinct in the Ten Commandments, and then Jesus Christ takes it down to two, and then later on in the New Testament, we get one. But when you fulfill the one, you fulfill them all. That it's about fulfilling the law. Our Lord Jesus Christ did not come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it. He came to show us that you can walk in it perfectly. That's what he did. He was sinless. We have to appreciate that because he expects that of us. Okay, we need to start to delve into what we understand about what God tells us to do. That word testimonies and what? Testimonies. What is it? To what does it testify? It's not to what does it testify. It's to whom. It's not about testifying to, hey, you need to do these things or you're going to get in trouble. It's a testimony as to who God is, His holiness, and what He expects of us. So it's not just a matter of this rote, I know what the rules are, and I do them or don't do them. That's not what He wants. He wants us to live them. He wants us to walk in them. Because again, they're testimonies. The ancient people of Israel didn't call them the Ten Commandments. They called them the tables of the testimony, the testifying as to who God was and what He expected of His people. Because there's two things we need to think about, because we need to ask ourselves, have you ever asked your question, okay, here's some rules, okay? Do them and don't do them. Okay. Two questions should come up in your mind. Not just the response, okay, but, well, how do I do that? And why do I do that? The hows, we have to appreciate the fact that God has given us these precepts, these mandates, all the things that He wants us to do. And He doesn't stop with the old, like I said, with the Ten Commandments. We got a bunch of precepts in the New Testament. You know, there are precepts in the New Testament to talk about how we're supposed to worship in church. And if you read, different subject for a different day, but if you read those precepts of how we're supposed to worship in the church, most parishes that you go into violate those rules. Outright. Violate those rules. Oh, we don't, but that was for back in those days. Says who? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The scriptures do not change. They are not ours for the cherry picking. Okay, we need to live the precepts of our Lord. How do we do it? By walking diligently in them. No, again, you know, I can't emphasize enough. It doesn't say know the law. It says walk in the law. That means living it. That means when the scriptures say something about our worship, we are supposed to walk in those scriptures. Again, not, well, I don't want to walk down that path. I don't like that one. I'm going to go off on my own. Because that's what we do when we do things like that. We need to, you know, I'm always harping on this. And generally it's in the context when we speak of the graces that our Lord Jesus Christ shows us. When we look at the graces that He shows us, I always say, His graces are never to be presumed upon or taken for granted. We are supposed to cooperate with those graces in order that we are more conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. We actually, you know, I don't pull that kind of stuff out of my head. Okay, when it talks about Jesus' precepts, verse 4 in Psalm 119, Thou hast commanded Thy precepts to be kept diligently. Again, not known, kept diligently. We are supposed to work in keeping God's law. Can we do that in our human nature? Absolutely not. That is not a get out of keeping the law for, well, I just can't do it. Because you can. It's not a matter you can't. It's a matter, is it difficult? Yes, it is. I don't think there's anybody in here who would say that our Lord Jesus Christ was not sinless. Jesus was sinless. That's why He came. That's why His atonement for us is valid, because He was sinless. He was sinless, and He looks at us and says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. He would not be perfect if He told us to do something that we could not do. They suggest something that is impossible for you. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. He wouldn't be perfect. He wouldn't be God if He said that and we couldn't do it. This is why I'm always harping on the fact that I hear it quite frequently. I can't stop this, or I can't do that. Stop right there. Not a matter of can't. It's a matter of won't. I won't do that. I won't do this. I won't work at it. There is no such thing as can't, because our Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless one, says that you need to be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, are we going to attain that? I won't speak for you, but I know I won't. Yeah. But I don't. Notice I didn't say I can't. Okay? I won't. My nature's not good enough. I'm trying. I'm working on it. Okay? I'm working on it, but that's what I'm doing. Working at it. Because I want to strive to do what Jesus Christ said. This is what we need. Because I try to walk in what He says to do. What do we do when we're walking? we're going along a path. We're going from point A to point B. We're going from point A, not too holy, to point B, very holy. And that path ultimately is to perfection. You know, for most of us, or again, speaking for myself, well, when you die, well, no, you're purgatory. That's part of the path also. So we just need to deal with that. But when that verse said, they need to be kept diligently. And you be kept diligently, or he will help you keep them. You got to do your part. That's that cooperation. But I said, we can't do it in our own nature. Verse 5, oh, that my ways may be made steadfast. You make them steadfast. I'm supposed to keep these diligently, but I need help in doing it. You need to make my ways steadfast. This is the only formula that works for this diligent walking in the law of our Lord. His grace in allowing us to do it, opening our eyes to it in the first place, then helping us through it, but then our actual walking through this stuff. And this is where the negation of all this, cherry picking of the law comes into play. I hear quite frequently, I haven't been to confession in a while, but I mean, I haven't killed anybody, or I won't commit adultery or steal. Okay. Look around. It doesn't take many of us any time at all to think of people who actually, come to Mass and cohabitate. All right? Well, that's fornication. It's fornication. It's a mortal sin. It separates you from the grace of Christ. That's the bottom line. It's that gross of a violation of God's precepts. We can't cherry pick. We need to conform and walk diligently in his precepts, all of them. This is what we're supposed to do. How many people, like I said, Jesus Christ hones down the Ten Commandments to two. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I mean, that second part of it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Why do we do that? Because our neighbor bears the image of God. So if you say you're doing the first part, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, you need to love your neighbor too, who bears God's image. And how many people like to walk around and I hate this, but this person this and this person that? That's a violation of the summary of the law that Jesus Christ gives us. All right? So everybody really, that person does this, so I'm okay with not liking them or hating them. You might not want to go to lunch with them or anything, but you don't wish ill on other people. There's a lot of people who do. But we can't do it because that is not diligently walking in the law of the Lord. I said, don't get all caught up in this. You're supposed to fawn over everybody and give everybody this, that, and the other thing. Okay, we can dislike what they do, and we don't want to hang out with them. Fine. Let me be a little transparent, okay? Some people, I want to meet with you in the office. Oh, gosh. Yeah? Yeah. You're just sometimes there's a rub, all right? That's not wrong. Now, if I would tell the person, no. Okay, that would be a problem. For me to think that inside, I deal with it. And then it's a penance when they come into my office. This is the hows. We have to know what is encapsulated in any given law, and then we have to live it practically. Now there's a why. This has got to be, we're Catholics, we got a bunch of rules. Why? You ever ask yourself that? Why do I have to keep the commandments? Why do I have to do what God said? Why should we worship the way God says he wants us to worship? Why? I can remember when I was 7, 8, 9 years old, my dad would tell me to do something. Why? You know what I got? Because I said so. That's good for a 7, 8 year old. That's because what? They don't understand. They're not of an age of reason. Okay? Because I said so. Don't do that. Or there are consequences. That's simple enough. We should not live our life of faith thinking that God's going to spank us because we did something because I said so. Okay, like I said, if you're a new Christian or something, you work with that with people. And then we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's just like when you got older in your family. Okay, when you're 17, 18 years old. Hey, I want to do this. No. Why not? I mean, it shouldn't be because I told you so at that age. Okay, that kind of fosters rebellion. Although, I mean, it is, it's the end all be. After you explain yourself, to a lesser or greater extent to why you can do this or can't do that. After you explain yourself, as you still get pressed, then you can revert back to, because I told you, that's the way we should live our Christian life. Oh, why can't I do this? Why shouldn't we be able to do this in worship? Well, because of this, because of this, because of whether I don't get it or I don't agree with it, then the church should look, as she has always done until recently, look at, because I said so. And we are obedient to our Lord Jesus Christ, and this is his body. If that's the bottom line, okay. But he does explain himself. Whether you want to accept that explanation, that's a different story. That's office time, okay? But this is where we learn about these things. It's not about him just waiting to spank us or smite us. They're there for our safety and for our nurture. This is what our Lord, this is why he gives these to us. We need to conform ourselves to being in a right state of mind before God. The whys, the end all be all of the why should we keep this up? The end all be all as to why is because I say something? No, because the Holy Spirit says something in this psalm several times, but this one we'll pick out. Verse 7. I will praise thee with an upright heart when I learn thy righteous ordinances. Think about that. I always say, when you hear a verse of scripture, okay, what? There's two parts of it. I will praise thee with an upright heart. Okay, that's all the folks who just come to Mass on Sunday. Why do you go? Well, that's when you praise God, and I just do whatever during the week. Okay, but I went and I praised him. It doesn't stop there. It just doesn't say, I will praise thee with an upright heart, period. It says, I will praise thee with an upright heart when I learn thy righteous ordinances. You don't praise God correctly if you don't know his ordinances, what he wants, what he expects of you. Because when we come into this place, it's kind of interesting. It's almost like in the Old Testament temple, there were different precincts of the temple. If you were this, you could go in this far. If you were this, you could go in this far. And then there was the Holy of Holies, where only a high priest could go in just once a year. We almost have the same thing going on in a little bit of a more general sense. When you come into this church, as I pray, anybody does who desires to praise. But when we come in here, even to walk through the doors, it should be in a way that, why are we here? Why do you want to praise? Because I want to be closer to God, whatever you may understand about that. That's coming in the doors. But when you come up to this altar rail, I mean, anybody can come in those doors if they want to start conforming their life. Little footnote, that whole all are welcome stuff, that's bunk. All are not welcome. All who want to start changing their lives are welcome. Like any good shepherd, you don't let the wolves and the lions and the bears into your sheepfold. Okay, that's kind of stupid. All are welcome. No. But if a person's working on it, but they can't come up to this altar rail. You need to be properly disposed to receive divinity, our Lord Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. You need to be predisposed to do that. Much more than you have to be predisposed to come through those doors. That's a whole different ballgame. So it's like the precincts as we approach our Lord. Because what we're preparing ourselves for, at the bottom line, because keeping the law, as I said, it allows for entry into God's place. This is his place in this earthly way that we can present it in his body that is the Catholic Church. But what are we preparing ourselves for when we're in here? Well, we can come in those doors, and then when we can ultimately come up to this altar rail, once you get up to this altar, it's not, that's the end all be all, I'm good. No, because you receive the Eucharist, you're getting better. We're getting better for what? To go into his presence ultimately, in the kingdom of heaven. The Catholic life is preparation for death. Okay, that sounds like a real bummer, but it shouldn't be, because it's coming. Should the Lord tarry, we need to prepare ourselves for that. And we prepare ourselves because the scriptures say that we can only praise him with an upright heart when we've learned his righteous ordinances, because this shows a conformity to his will. St. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Every time we come in here, we are transformed if we cooperate with the graces. This is the law. This is the why. You're preparing yourself to meet Jesus Christ face to face at the judgment seat. We are going to be held to account as to how we kept his law, as to whether we walked diligently in it or not. This is the move. You know the law, and then you can worship. This is reality. This is the wise. It is not just about dotting I's and crossing T's. It is about living a life commensurate with the faith that we proclaim with our mouth and preparing ourselves for the judgment seat. You know, it is that simple. And there are whys for it. So we need to appreciate that. We need to appreciate it, but not just, oh, I appreciate that. We need to start acting like it. Father and Son and the Holy Ghost.